to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back indeed to the Political Cesspool radio program. Welcome to our third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast from AM 1380 WLRM radio studios in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Saturday evening, October 10th. Always a special month for us. It's our birthday month. We're turning 5 years old, which I guess is a little more momentous than others. I mean, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 5 years. Pretty good birthday. Pretty good ability of ours to stand the test of time. We're excited about it. We're excited that you've enabled us to survive this long. And we've got a lot in store for you forthcoming the rest of this month and indeed the year and years to come. But nevertheless, you're listening to us tonight in the Political Cesspool, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network, and perhaps you're tuned in on one of their affiliate stations across the country. If not, maybe you're tuned in over the Internet or via satellite, maybe even the Liberty News Wire, the new telephone service that we have available for you to tune in to not just our shows, but all of the fine programming made available to you by the Liberty News Radio Network. Don't forget, we have broadcast archives and podcasts. If you can listen to the show, if you want to listen to the show, there's a way. Let me just put it that way. And we've covered a lot of ground tonight, so there is a lot to listen to. If you missed the last few minutes particularly, I would encourage you to go back to the broadcast archives and catch Reverend Ted Pike. I want to thank Ted again for making himself available to you and our listening audience. We do have a lot of ground still to cover this evening. A couple of stories we'll be mentioning is Tom Tancredo fires back at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Good for you, Congressman Tancredo. Time Magazine. Now, we all know Detroit looks like it got hit with an atom bomb. And guess who Time Magazine blames for the destruction and corruption of Detroit? You guessed it, white people. But before we get to any of that, this story really sticks in my craw, not just because it deals with, in my opinion, treason, but because it's coming from, yet again, the so-called conservative Republicans. There are two GOP, well, there are obviously much more than two. But there are two right now that are speaking out specifically about their desire for the United States to go into an all-out war against Iran. Now, again, these are supposed to be the people who are on our side. Lindsey Graham, anytime we're mentioning treason in the Republican Party, odds are that Lindsey Graham is going to be in the story. But Lindsey Graham and Saxby Chambliss, two quote-unquote conservative GOP senators from the South, no less, went on TV a few days ago to promote the idea that our American military should conduct, and I'm using their term, an all-or-nothing war on Iran for Israel's behalf. I mean, these guys now, ladies and gentlemen, they don't even try to hide the fact that their motivation isn't about what's good for America, but what's good for Israel. They say it's too dangerous for Israel to attack Iran because that would enrage Arabs against Israel, and some Israelis might die, and, you know, we can't have that, because that's what American kids are for, to serve as cannon fodder for endless wars in the Middle East on behalf of Israel, while our strategic allies continue to sit idly on their hands. This is, if this isn't treason, what is? I don't care what your position on Israel is. It is not America. America comes first, not only first, but second and third as well. We cannot put the well-being of any country above that of our own. And that is exactly what Lindsey Graham and Saxby Chambliss are advocating. Never mind the fact that an American attack on Iran would probably be the start of World War III, or that gas prices would probably skyrocket to unprecedented levels, or that we already are bogged down in two no-win wars, or that we're already bankrupt. I mean, just think about this for a minute. Two American senators proposing that we attack Iran on behalf of Israel because they want us and not Israel to suffer the consequences. Did you hear what I just said? That is exactly what's happening. Two United States senators want America to suffer the consequences and not Israel. If that isn't treason, ladies and gentlemen, then what is? If that, I mean, where is the outcry about this? Where is the outcry? Take Israel out of the name. Just take, forget it was Israel for a moment that they were advocating this treason on the behalf of. Let's just say it was another country. It was Germany or Iceland or Mexico or whatever other country. I don't think they would be able to get away with that sort of obtuse and undeniable treason. But this is what Lindsey Graham said, though. It gets worse, as it always does. Quote, I think an Israeli attack on Iran is a nightmare for the world. See, he thinks an Israeli attack on Iran is a nightmare, but it's a good idea for America to do it. And he continues to make what passes as his point by saying, because it will rally the Arab world around Iran, and they're not aligned now. It's just too much pressure to put on Israel, end quote, Senator Lindsey Graham told Fox News's Chris Wallace. He continued, quote, if the sanctions fail and Iran's going down the road to get a nuclear weapon, and any Sunni Arab state would want a nuclear weapon, Israel would be more impeded. He is not even remotely concerned about America here. His only concern is Israel. Does that not tell you who's got a death grip? I mean, was Pat Buchanan not right all along when he said Capitol Hill was Israeli-occupied territory? I mean, could they own these I can't say it. I want to say it. You know what these people are, these guys. Could Israel own them anymore? Lindsey Graham went on to say the world would change dramatically for the worst if Israel actually had to attack Iran. You know, that's America's job, he says. Military action should be the last resort anyone looks at, and I would rather... get this, you would think I'm making this up. You would think that I am exaggerating or embellishing that which was said by Lindsey Graham. This is what he said, a direct quote. I would rather our allies and America take military action if it's necessary. But, naturally, Graham doesn't think that an attack should be limited to airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities. Quote, if we should use military action against Iran, we should not only go after the nuclear facilities. Is this not a guy that is completely owned and operated by the Zionists or what? We should destroy their ability to make war. They should have no planes that fly, no ships that can float, said Graham. You know, I don't like Iran. I don't have any particular love or hatred for them one way or the other. But, you know, they didn't sink the USS Liberty. They don't subvert our culture and our morals on a daily basis. You know, but I'll tell you who does. And Senator Saxby Chambliss, the Republican of Georgia, agrees wholeheartedly with Graham. Quote, the problem with military action also is that you're probably not going to be able to stop the production of uranium just by a simple airstrike, Chambliss said on Fox News Sunday. Lindsey's right. It's an all-or-nothing deal. And it's worth that at this point in time. We could slow them down, but a full-out military strike is what it's going to take. You know, if that's what it takes, why don't you get on the tank? Why don't you get out there? Why don't you send your kids to fight for Israel? You know, why don't you send your kids? Why don't you get out there, you traitor? Why don't you get out there and do something? Send your kids to fight for Israel and die for Israel if you think it's so important. Well, I don't. And a lot of people don't. They need to be more adamant. They need to be more animated, as we always say. We've got to speak out. You know, I know if you objectively criticize, mind you, I'm not into mindless bashing of Israel just because it's Israel. Everything that we do, everything that we advocate should be well-reasoned and logical. But I know if you objectively and articulately criticize Israel, they're going to come out and label you an anti-Semite because that's just what they do. You know, so what? I mean, you know, if you want to put America first, you're an anti-Semite, then I guess that's what we are then. I mean, whatever they want to call us. It doesn't matter. It gets back to what we said at the first hour. They call us everything. We're Americans, and we're Christians, and Christians and Americans should come first. And, you know, and people like Saxby Chambliss and Lindsey Graham need to suffer the consequences of the actions that they're advocating. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the political cesspool. We're trying to cover all the ground that we can in the 3 hours that we have with you live each week. Don't forget that the political cesspool radio program is here live on Liberty News Radio Network every Saturday evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern and 5 to 8 Pacific. Come on, you know your time zones. But we're here every week bringing you a very unique message that no other mainstream radio broadcast is bringing. That's what separates us from everyone else. That's why we receive so much media attention, because we're doing the job that no one else will do, and hopefully we're blazing a trail that many others will soon follow. Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, they've been attacking us regularly since 2006. I think they've attacked us in no less than 4 articles on their website in the past 3 weeks alone. I gotta say this. The media, I will say this for the Southern Poverty Law Center, the media is always lying about the Southern Poverty Law Center because they always refer to them as a civil rights organization that monitors hate group. The truth of the matter is they do that because it sounds a lot better than the truth, which is they're a bunch of godless communists, and that's all there are, short and simple. But there's somebody else now that realizes that besides us here in the cesspool, and that's former Congressman Tom Tancredo. You got to go to our website. And by the way, when you're at our website, a lot of features for you to do that. I don't want to get too far off the subject at hand, the story about Tom Tancredo tearing the SPLC a new one. But there is a lot of stuff there we want you to check out, our blog especially, but just a lot of features there at thepoliticalcesspool.org that we want you to become well familiar with. You might have to go back a couple of pages in the blog to find this article that we're talking about. But don't forget to join our Facebook page either. We got about 800 people, about 800 fans have joined up on our Facebook page. We're really proud of that and glad to know that there's so many people supporting us publicly by coming on and showing themselves as fans of this program on our Facebook page. You can find us real easy by searching The Political Cesspool on Facebook. We're everywhere. But anyway, yeah, Tom Tancredo, great column that we have for you documented on our blog from Tom Tancredo about the American and Christian-hating freaks known as the SPLC. Now, this is, first of all, when I'm talking about the SPLC, there's just so many directions you can go with that because they're so entertaining. If you really want to be entertained, if you like Harlequin novels, go and read Morris Deese's Divorce Decree. That is the raunchiest stuff. I mean, these are the people that we're paired against. I mean, it's just when it comes to a battle of honor and integrity and valor, they're ill-equipped for combat. It's just they can't stand toe-to-toe with us on a level playing field, which is why they always have to resort to childish character assassinations and lies and innuendos and deception and all the things that they typically do. But Tom Tancredo caught on to it. You got to read the article about it, which is documented in our blog. But I learned a couple of things from the article myself. Now, keep in mind, these are the people that are advising law enforcement agencies and mailing out their rag publications to all of the public schools in America. And yeah, okay, so we're on their list. But did you know that right alongside the political cesspool, the Southern Poverty Law Center considers the American Legion to be a hate group? The American Legion is a hate group now. The SPLC also opines that the Lord of the Rings is a racist and hate-filled movie, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, hate movies. They also go so far as to say, James Dobson, you can't get more milk toast and controlled opposition than James Dobson. Even he is too far to the right for the godless communists at the SPLC. But I'll tell you who they do like. And this is, again, according to the report that we have documented and reference links on our blog. The American Legion is a hate group. We're a hate group. Lord of the Rings is a hate group. James Dobson is a hate group. But terrorist and Obama ghostwriter William Ayers, in the opinion of the SPLC, is really just a patriot. American. He's a patriot. William Ayers, Bill Ayers, is a patriot. You got to read it for yourself. I mean, we could go on and on. I don't get something telling you. I probably just wasted 5 minutes of valuable airtime because I didn't tell you anything you don't already know about the SPLC. But I guess the moral of the story is it is good that people of the renown of Tom Tancredo are joining people like us in calling this organization out for what it is. And for that, we salute you, Congressman Tancredo. Here's this Time Magazine article I was talking about a second ago. Time Magazine blames white people for the death of Detroit. And of course they do. I guess that should come as no surprise. When it comes to non-whites, we're all supposedly equal, but only white people have any moral responsibility. Non-whites can never be blamed for their failures. So somehow, some way, this is, again, but political correctness forces us to believe, when they don't measure up, you've got to find a way to blame the white man for it. Now, this is, again, an article on our blog. Go check it out. Everything that we talk about on this program is backed up with sources and references on our blog. That's why we refer to it so often, because we want you to know that we do our research before we bring things to your attention on this program, unlike, everybody else. In this long article, though, the author lays the blame on white racism for the decimation of the auto industry. Now, he does mention that Detroit has had a corrupt black mayor, just so he won't look completely ridiculous. But that's the only part that non-whites in Detroit played for destroying the city that was once considered, if you can believe it or not, the most beautiful in North America. They screwed up by electing Mayor Coleman back in 1973. Other than that, though, it's all white folks' fault that Detroit is now in the state of disrepair that it is. But the author of this article that we're commenting on right now has a plan that can bring back the city of Detroit to its former greatness. He says there's still a lot of hope for Detroit. And what's his plan? His plan is consolidation. Simply create a regional government so that Detroit, the city of Detroit, and the suburbs around Detroit, which are all white areas, merge into one governmental unit. Now, have I lost you yet? Let me just summarize what we've learned. In other words, it's the white man's job to save Detroit. Never mind the fact that this author just got done telling us that it was the white people who have destroyed Detroit. You would think that the white folks would be the last you turn to save the city. But political correctness is a religion, so it doesn't have to make any sense. And certainly it does not. But you've got to read it. This is coming out. Now, like I said, it would be a candidate for mockery. This is something you would expect to read out of, literally, the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is the kind of asinine reporting that you would expect to read in something like the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is, of course, just a left-wing fundraising hustle. But this is in Time Magazine. Now, you expect to read bad stuff in Time and Newsweek. I mean, obviously, they're anti-white and anti-American. But, I mean, just something that is this contradictory. You would expect that they would have at least some degree of professionalism to avoid making just a complete and utter mockery of themselves in their own article. That's why we're valuable, folks. We're redefining the media. We'll be back right after this.
These messages. The heck is it? Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show tonight. We're heading down the home stretch now during tonight's live broadcast, Saturday evening, October 10th. You're listening to the political cesspool. And I am, of course, your host, as always, James Edwards. Good to be back. You know, we took off last week. We had a really good dinner with some of our local contributors in Memphis, and it's always good. We always want to take the time and make the effort to let each and every one of you in our listening audience know how valuable you are to us and how much we respect your support. And trust and love, and certainly all of those qualities and characteristics are reciprocated from us to you. And we always, a little bit more than often, we always use the month of October to kind of reflect and genuflect and look back on where the program has come from and where we intend to go. And certainly a lot of things have happened over the course of the past year, and I would just like to catch you up on a few of the things. And like I said, most of this have been things we've addressed on this program before. But I think once again, every now and then, we should just take a step back and look at what we've done. And this is far from us patting ourselves on the back. The only reason I like to bring these things up from time to time and point out that which this program has accomplished is because it's what you have accomplished. It's what you have enabled us to do. Our accomplishments are your accomplishments. And with that being said, you know, I just feel as though that each week that we're able to host this program and bring these issues to your attention is indeed a victory. I mean, the consistency and longevity that we've had, I think, is a remarkable accomplishment in itself, particularly when you're talking about paleoconservative movements that are so underfunded and relying on volunteer on the efforts of volunteers. Yet for 5 years, like clockwork, we have presented a show that addresses all of the issues of importance, as we said in the first hour, to real red-blooded, red state Americans, the founding stock, the descendants of the Confederates, the descendants of the folks who came over here and carved this nation from a wilderness. This is the show that stands up for those people and the ideas that we carry. You know, it wasn't last summer. When was it? You know, summer before last, we were still just on the one station, you know, our flagship here in Memphis, AM 1380. And over the course of the past year and some change, you know, we've had the opportunity to grow and come to Liberty News Radio, and I encourage everyone to support Liberty News Radio. They do a great job. We have a great working relationship with the fine men and women that make this network possible, and we couldn't be happier with our place and our home on this network. But this is just something that, you know, a great stride. It just goes to show the logical progress that this radio program is making. And, of course, it goes without saying that you've been able to support us so we can do that. You know, we've been picked up by a considerable number of stations now, and more are coming on to carry us every week. And, of course, as we always mention, you know, we've got the internet audience, the satellite audience, shortwave, and then telephone, podcast, broadcast archive, the website and blog that complement all of that. And then, of course, all of the legitimacy and care and credibility that comes from being on, you know, mainstream radio stations, AM, FM stations. But it's not just our message that we're proud to bring to you every week. It's our guests. Our guests, to be able to provide a forum and a venue for the likes of the man like we had tonight, Reverend Ted Pike, but so many others, and you just can't name them all of the great leaders that we have out there, like Nick Griffin, who was recently elected as a member of European Parliament for the British National Party. And he was on with us exclusively for an hour a few weeks ago. People, mainstays in this movement like Sam Dixon and Jared Taylor and Dr. Kevin McDonald, Dr. Greg Johnson, Dr. Virginia Abernathy, just our whole guest list, Gordon Baum with the Council of Conservative Citizens, all the people we've had the opportunity to work with, we're making available to a growing number of listeners who are thirsting for the truth. It's just they're ravenous to have this information fed to them. They're starving for it. And we get the correspondence all the time from people who are saying, you know, we just didn't know there was a radio program out there that was professional and polished that is delivering this message. You know, we were waiting for something like this. We literally get it every day. And of course, it's great to have our work complimented by the likes of men like Pat Buchanan and Jerome Corsi and Ted Nugent and all of these people of high acclaim who continue to come on the show. I think we have truly become one of the most well-known entities of the right. We're reaching tens of thousands of people each month through the website and through the radio. And because of our ability to effectively articulate this unique message that we carry, we have become one of the most publicized organizations of the new right, so to speak. In the last year, the New York Times and Die Zeit newspaper, which is the largest newspaper in Germany, have dispatched reporters to come and interview us in Memphis. So of course, we were mentioned on the front page of the London Times a couple of months ago now, it was earlier this summer, which is, of course, the most widely read newspaper in the English-speaking world. Newsweek magazine has mentioned us. And this is all, of course, just in the course of the last few months, going back to some of the older claims to fame that we have, being on CNN and the Los Angeles Times, et cetera. And there's always more forthcoming interviews down the pike. And you just look back on the course of the past year, ladies and gentlemen, I say all that to say this. This is what you've done. This is the accomplishment. This goes to show the effect that we can have when we work together. You and our listening audience, the people who pray for us, the people who send in contributions and donations, and God knows we need them to stay on the air. It's just a fact of life in this business and in broadcast radio. You just have to be able to meet the overhead. And some way, somehow, we always find a way to meet it because we have the greatest fans and supporters in the world, and your emails and your encouragement and support. As I said before, we spend a little more time talking about these issues during the month of October because it's a very special time for us. We're very proud of the work we do on this radio program. We take our roles very seriously. And unlike most, we have attracted the spotlight, and we've not withered under its glare. We're using this power and credibility and name recognition to reach folks who agree with us fundamentally, but perhaps were previously inactive. But as much as we've done, and as much as we've done, we can do that much more. I can truly see the day. Maybe a couple of years ago, I didn't think in terms this grand, but I can see the day where this radio program is a household name. I think we can carry that message to many more affiliate stations. I think our message is still contemporary. We're thriving on this network and on these stations. We represent the very best of what America was. You know, the American experiment was just a miraculous and an incredible thing, and I think we are carrying the message that the media would now tell us is passé and out of date, but what's right is never out of date. And, you know, we're doing this live broadcast tonight. We'll be back with you again next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central. And we're going to be talking to listeners all across the country and around the world. And that's what we do. And that's what we're here to do. And, again, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you for allowing us to be able to fill this role and serve our cause in such a way. We want to hear from you. We want you to go to our website. What can we do to make this program better? What can we do over the course of the next 5 years, God willing, as we work towards celebrating our decade-long anniversary on the air? What can we do to more effectively and more articulately serve this cause? What guests would you like to see us have on this radio program? What are we not doing that we should be doing, in your opinion? We want to hear from you. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Go to the Contact Us page. Send me an email. We will read every single email that comes in. We take the time, and then sometimes it's painstakingly to do. It's painstaking to do. But we always take the time to read every email, and then we respond to as many as we can. Let us know your opinions. We are here to serve you. We are here to serve a cause. We are not here to become celebrities or to bask in the glow of our own limelight or whatever. That's what Sean Hannity does. That's what Bill O'Reilly does. That's what Rush Limbaugh does. That's not what we do. We're here for the right reasons, and we want to be the best stewards that we can be of this message. Let us know how we can do that. And with that being said, while you're thinking about it, I'm going to take one more break, and I'll be back with one final story before we wrap up tonight's show.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to go to our website and sign up for our email list. We want to have, and I'm going to let this be the final word on this matter tonight, October 24th on our program that evening, an interactive sort of birthday party commemorating our 5 years on air. We're going to be wanting to hear from you, your favorite experiences or memories of this program, your favorite guest and interviews, funniest moments, bloopers. We might have to come up with a blooper reel. I know it's hard for people so good and so people who operate with such surgical-like precision. To fathom that we would have bloopers. But, you know, there have been a few. I think Bill had a blooper last week. I don't know if we can replay that one, though. But we'll come up with something. We got to come up with something classy. This is a big event. But sign up for our email list, and you'll be among the first to know not just what we're planning for the rest of this month, but what we're planning on into the future and how you can be involved. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Sign up for our email list. I'll tell you, Peter Stanton, one of the guys who works behind the scenes on this program and helps us out with different tasks and chores. It takes a village to run this show, I tell you, it does. It's not just the four guys that you hear regularly on the air as the host. We have a team that runs the website, and we have a team at WLRM Studios and a team at Liberty News Radio and folks behind the scenes that help us to come up with content and do some editing. And it's just a lot of people put in hours each and every week on the production of this program. But we got to come up with something good for the big birthday bash. We want you to be a part of that. Peter Stanton is one of those guys that does it, and he came up with a good top 10 moments for last year's celebration. And we'll top that this year. We got to have some sort of surprise. Email me some suggestions and let us know what we can do to really make this knock this one out of the park. One more little trivial story to run out the time, and this is, I think, a perfect indication, or a perfect example, I should say, of the kind of people that we're up again. There was a politician, a judge down in Montgomery, Alabama, who was touted as, my God, just the next the next savior of Montgomery. It was a black judge by the name of Herman Thomas. I don't think it's a coincidence that a man this perverted hails from the same city that houses the Southern Poverty Law Center. But I got to tell you, Montgomery's a great Southern city. I wish the SPLC would relocate to a place where they are more welcome, like New York or something like that. Montgomery is a great Southern city. I just hate to see people like Herman Thomas and Morris Deeds in operation there. But anyway, you're probably wondering who Herman Thomas is. This is such a tacky way to end the show, but it just really drives home the point of how corrupt and how tainted our enemies are, yet they try and hold the moral high ground. They are the ones who label us. They are the ones who attack us as if we're the ones with the problems, as if we're the ones that are not right in the head, when we certainly are, and they certainly are not. Herman Thomas had an enviable political record as a black Democrat elected and reelected in a county overwhelmingly white and increasingly Republican. Now, this, once again, I'm sure the Republicans probably endorsed this guy. And that's right along the lines of what I could see them doing. The respected circuit judge was once, and I'm talking about Herman Thomas, was once the Democratic Party's choice to be the first black federal judge in South Alabama. Then his career collapsed under allegations that he brought inmates to his office so he could spank them with a paddle. Now, these are the exact same people, like William Ayers, that the Southern Poverty Law Center would tout as great patriotic Americans. Now, obviously, you know, Herman Thomas is under criminal investigation now, and so they might not go so far, but I'm sure this was a guy that they were overwhelmingly behind. That's not the end of the story, though. Later, an indictment accused him of sexually abusing male inmates in exchange for leniency. The trial, it would have been one thing if he just paddled them, but no. The trial on charges of sodomy, kidnapping, sexual abuse, extortion, assault, and ethics violation is set to start Monday. Now, this is a judge that all the Democrats were behind, of course, and that Republicans continued to reelect. Yeah, I think there's time for a new voice in this country. I surely do. Former Alabama Circuit Judge Herman Thomas, that's the man we're talking about, stepped down from the bench amid all of these allegations. It says that the case shocked his friends and former colleagues. Quote, I've always had the highest regard for him. Doesn't it sound just like Roman Polanski? Doesn't it sound just like Roman Polanski? Oh, I always had the highest regard for him. What a great guy. I mean, yeah, you know, so what? You know, all he did was sodomize prisoners while he was a judge. I mean, you know, that's not a big deal. But anyway, I don't guess he can flee over to Eastern Europe like Polanski, so he'll probably actually have to get a slap on the wrist or something. It'll be interesting to see exactly what kind of punishment these crimes, or if proven guilty, these crimes elicit. It goes on to say what Thomas was known for: wearing distinctive bow ties. I guess that should tell you something right there. Stepped down from the bench after the allegation surfaced just ahead of a judicial ethics trial that could have forced him out of office. Says if convicted of the most serious charges, which are sodomy and kidnapping. I mean, again, this was the darling of the Democrats and Republicans. If convicted of the most serious charges of sodomy and kidnapping, he faces from 20 years to life in prison. I tell you, though, you know, so he might go to jail 20 to 40 years, but one day, if the citizens of the state of Alabama follow the citizens of the state of Ohio, he could have his bust in the national statuary. I mean, I think, you know, I think what this guy did is far less heinous than what Tecumseh did. So, America, you got to love it. I mean, we got to take America back, folks. That's the bottom line. This kind of stuff, you know, we can do without. We got to take our country back. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do to make sure that that happens? What are you going to do to make sure that we leave this country in a little bit better position than the way we found it? I mean, America was at a cultural zenith back in the 1950s. We have fallen so far, so quickly. But I truly believe, at the bottom of my heart, what one man can do, another can do. We need to mimic the tactics of the left. We need to get involved. We need to reach critical mass. And then we need to stand up for true conservatism and for our faith, for the faith of our forefathers, for Christianity, for our race, for our country. And we need not be deterred by any such allegations that the left might throw at us. These aren't people that are anything to us anyway. They don't support us. They don't like us. Who cares if they call us a name? I mean, are we in high school again? Are we in grade school again? You know, where that affects us? We're not gonna walk down the hall because the second grade bully is gonna say something? You know, do we really care? But unfortunately, it's enough right now to deter good men from taking action. Well, just follow our lead. You'll be all right. You'll be okay. I mean, you know, they call us names. So what? I mean, here we are 5 years later, still on the air. We're not doing anything wrong. In fact, what we're doing is all right and completely natural and healthy. We want for ourselves what everyone else has. We want to serve as a voice for our people. And I think we're going to be okay in the long run. I think that there's a lot of hope to be drawn from the Tea Parties. They're still a little bit confused as to why exactly they're there, but they can get it. You know, they can come around. I think now more than ever we stand positioned to make some great strides. But we can't let the opportunity slip through our hands. We can't let that sand fall through the hourglass and potentially miss a wonderful opportunity. Obama is giving us a great opportunity. The media is giving us a great opportunity with the constant barrage of attacks that they are leveling on anyone and everyone that is right thinking. We can take advantage of this. So that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that's our program for this week. We hope you enjoyed listening to us as much as we enjoyed bringing the program to you. We'll be back next week with another live installment of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program for the rest of the Cesspool staff, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Art Frith, and everyone else who works behind the scenes. I'm your host, James Edwards. Good night. God bless you. Live life the way we do without retreat, surrender, or apology. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.